Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Privilege, as always, to be with you and to be able to be here on this bright, sunny morning. Looking forward to opening God's Word with you all this morning and looking forward to hearing from Him and all that He has for us. We're going to be opening to 1 Corinthians and chapter 7, which is where we left off last week when I was with you. And we're going to carry on some of those thoughts. I'll just pause for a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive right in this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you again for your presence, that you are here, that you are among us, that you abide in us, that you are a teacher, a director, a guider of our souls, that this morning you long to share with us more about yourself. I pray that as we open your word this morning, again, we would rely on you alone for understanding, that you would make your truth real within our hearts. Thank you for all that you are, Lord of our lives, Majesty and King. And just pray again this morning as we open your word that we would bow our hearts low, that we would allow once again the many distractions around us to fall aside, that we might listen and hear from you. Thank you for all of this, each and every member of this congregation, and just pray that this morning again you would, as we know you're among us, that you would teach us, mold us, and shape us to be more and more in your image today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, I'm going to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in doing so, for those of you perhaps who were not with us last week, we were talking a little bit about Paul addressing the gift of marriage. And that came as we looked first at the verses that we were reminded in which Paul said, "You are no longer your own." And as we began to look at the fact that today we have been bought with a price, and as we are no longer our own, now we have been redeemed, paid for, bought by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as He now is our Master and King, He desires to use us. And in doing so, He has called us to live differently in this life, differently from the rest of the world. We are now children of God and are to live under God's direction. And as we live, no longer are our bodies our own, but we now look to what is a higher purpose in life, as we were paid for, as we were sanctified, set apart for a purpose for by Him. And we began to look at the fact that today, marriage, though in the world sense, is a covenant or a uniting of two together. That often in today's society, that relationship of love is more about you completing me or my feelings or what I get and how I'm fulfilled than God's definition of love, which is sacrificial, laying down one's life. And as we read, Paul began to look at the fact that, again, in our physical intimacy, our bodies were not there to hold back or get back at someone else. We were fully being given in unity for the other person. And we looked at the fact in Ephesians chapter 5 that God called us in this selfless relationship for a purpose. That was that we can physically play a role this morning, a physical portrayal of God's spiritual love on earth. As He is the bridegroom, the faithful when we are unfaithful, His dedication, His commitment, His laying down of His life, that we can physically, in a marriage relationship today, be privileged to be able to show that to a watching world. A very high calling. In fact, Paul sums it up this way, actually at the beginning of Ephesians 5. Listen to this. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Be imitators of God just as He loved you and died for you. Now you are being called to die for one another. And as we began to pick apart that marriage relationship, that the husband would portray Christ, that selfless love and sacrifice for his bride as Christ did, that before a watching world, they would see physically a spiritual love from a holy father portrayed on this earth, just as the wife, as she committed herself and submitted herself to the husband, she would show a watching world what it means to wait on in holiness and purity for the bridegroom as the church awaits and longs for Christ. Again, not our value, because we are all one in Christ as we looked, but a role through which, in obedience to him, we can show and shine his love in this world. That's a gift to be a part of this picture. A gift. And as we go on, and as we mentioned last week, there is another gift, and in fact, a greater gift that Paul spoke of, one through which he said, I wish that the many of you even would remain as I. Later on in chapter 9, he's going to say, is only I, and I believe it's Barnabas, the only ones not allowed to take along a believing wife? He had a gift that he wanted more than anything to pass on. And in today's society, in today's culture, often that gift is seen as a curse, right? Singleness, alone, or to be lonely, perhaps, as we might see it or say it. But as we read on, Paul this morning is going to actually talk about what that gift is and how that gift portrays itself today in us. As we read on, he said this, and I'll reread some of the verses we left off on. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 17 says this, only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each in this manner, let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches, was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. But what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But were you able also to become free? Rather do that. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. You see, this morning as we look, some are going to be given the gift of marriage, this relationship that is going to portray on this earth this holy relationship with our Father. And yet Paul says, listen, do not let that become, and I laughed this week because as we were talking, the grass is always greener on the other side, isn't it? I like watching the animals and seeing when they tell me something about myself or humanity in general. And it's even funnier when it's the pigs. I don't know why, but when they show you a little something about yourself, it's brilliant, right? When you realize that you are like one of them. Laughing as I'm feeding the pigs, and of course there's one or two when there might be seven and I feed them in these big rubber indestructible bowls and yet they find a way to destroy them. Listen, I'll pour food in a bucket and they'll all dive on it. And then I'll go and pour food in another bucket and they'll quickly run to the other one because the assumption is that one's better, right? And then there'll be one pig who's late to the party and has a whole bowl all to himself because everybody's got their head in the other one. And you can see him looking at a full thing on his own and looking at what everybody else has got. And instead of just enjoying what he has, he's going to run and try and butt his head and fit with the rest that are in that bowl. And no one is eating out of this one when they could have it all to themselves. It's bizarre, right? And yet, isn't that it? The other bowl must be tastier. Everybody else is in there. It must be better. And so I go too. You see, this is it. We all think always, and I laugh again, our cows will go into a field, and we have a horse. My daughter loves it, treats it like a king, and yet it's a one-eyed horse. I tell people, when you can't afford real animals, you start buying ones missing body parts. We actually got this horse from a rescue, and it was an old track horse that got a glaucoma in its eye, and the vet had to remove it. My daughter sees him as the most beautiful horse in the world, and yet the cows go into a field. What's the horse going to do? Run around bucking, circling, because he wants to get in with them, like everything in him. Put the horse in the field, and now the cows are standing there, ignoring. Doesn't matter that they're in a field. They're longing for what he has over in the other field, because it must be better. And they're bellowing, wanting to be there too. We all look and see it from afar, and we always think that it's better. Paul here says he's got a great gift that he wish all had. And though while some of you, and I want to highlight here this morning, that he says, listen, I want you to remain as you are and as you were called. Because some of us, and I mentioned to you last week, again, you're in marriage and you long for singleness because you long for what you had, freedom. And he's going to talk about that freedom in a moment. And then you're not married and you're longing for relationship. And you're always looking for what you don't have. And Paul, you're saying, listen, I want you to remain as you were called. Were you circumcised? Don't try to be uncircumcised. Were you uncircumcised? Don't go and get circumcised. It's the heart and the obedience to the Lord this morning. And so today, all of us are from broken backgrounds. All of us are from broken relationships. All of us this morning are in this building having made bad choices. Wishes that we had done something differently. And this morning, we could be under a cloud and a fog of, I wasn't ready to get married. Why did I get married? I married the wrong one. I should have married the other one, right? It's easy to look back and think, I didn't do it right. And now, instead of living in the present, where are we living? In the past, because the grass is always greener, in the decisions I should have made, right? If only I could go back to that pasture. If only I could eat out of that bowl again. No, today we're all living here, sitting here with things before the Lord that we wish we didn't do, perhaps we thought we weren't ready to do, and yet Paul says this morning, listen, are you married? Whether you're hurting, it's difficult, whether there's a past marriage or relationship of brokenness, where are you today? Don't try to get unmarried, right? To go back and restore that marriage. Don't try to, whatever. Today, where are you? Yes, you may have regrets. Yes, you may have brokenness. Yes, you may have things where you've fallen and failed. But in this moment, are you a slave? Know the Lord in the midst of your slavery. Are you free? You're Jesus' slave, right? Today, are you married? Know the Lord in the midst of that marriage. Whether you feel in this moment it is fruitful or not, glorifying or good or hard, know Jesus in the midst of it. Come to obedience to Him right now. How were you called? Are you single this morning? Yes, perhaps a longing for the grass on the other side. And yet this morning, called to the Lord Jesus to obedience now. I hope that resonates with you all, because I'm often thinking, and I'm that guy, thinking that if I get what's in the other bowl, then life will be perfect. It'll all be sorted out. I'm the guy who's so disorganized, but I buy into the fact that if I got the next iPhone and if I got an Apple Watch that would beep at me every time I had an appointment, then I'd be organized. Or if I put down $30 more, and I don't know how they get away with it, but the people with the really good to-do programs and apps for your phone, they can charge $80, right? If I spend the $80, then I'll get organized. I've tried. You can't organize this disaster, okay? No matter what program, what phone, what beeps, it's a mess. I've tried it all. But I keep thinking that something will fix it. And if I could get that, if I could be there, if I could do that, then it will come together. No, listen, today, know the Lord in the midst and the place in which you were called. Slave or free, single or married, good circumstances or hard, but know him in obedience this moment, now, and hold this marriage unto the Lord, as we talked about last week. Remember? Even married to an unbeliever. Hang in. Why? Because you sanctify the relationship in order to shine the light of Christ. And what did he say? How do you know, O wife, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 16, whether you will save your husband, or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Today, in the midst of the brokenness, I need to know him. And Paul now is going to turn his gaze, and remember, as we're reading this chapter, he's turned from just correcting a church to answering questions from the church. This all started when they asked about marriage. And they're furthering that question to then ask, what happens if I have a virgin daughter? Do I do well to let her marry, or is it better to keep her single? And Paul's going to address this when he says in verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no command of the Lord, but I give an opinion as to one who by the mercy of the Lord is trustworthy. So as a godly individual who knows Jesus, he's going to tell you what he believes firmly from his knowledge of Christ to be a healthy opinion in this matter. He says this in verse 26, I think then that this is good in view of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be released. Are you released from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you marry, you do not sin. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time has been shortened, so that from now on those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, those who use the world as though they did not make full use of it, for the form of this world is passing away. But I want you, and here's where I want you to hold on to what Paul says, these next three verses. I want you to be free from concern. One who is unmarried is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And his interests are divided. The woman who is unmarried and the virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. But one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I say for your own benefit, not to put a restraint upon you, but to promote what is appropriate and to secure undistracted devotion to the Lord. Isn't that great? Paul says, I am putting this on you not to hold you under or restrain you, but rather this, verse 35, that you would benefit and that we would promote what is appropriate and secure, undistracted devotion to the Lord. Do you see the gift? I can tell you by testimony today that the truth is that, yes, in that marriage, there is a divided attention. Unto my wife, whom I love, how to please my wife. There is divided attention unto my kids, whom I love, and yet how to not please the kids, but raise them, though I like pleasing them too, but raise them in a godly way. Whereas he says, listen, to the single person, an undistracted devotion to the Lord. That is something not to be held lightly. The gift of singleness is this, that you are not tied down. If tomorrow the Lord said, listen, I want you to go to Africa and be a part of a mission, there'd be a lot of math involved. How many car seats can we fit on the plane, right? How are we going to get there? What are we going to eat? What are we going to do? How are we going to house ourselves? There's a lot of logistics. And while I love the family, singleness, guess what? God says, listen, I want you to go. It's a gift, isn't it? Why? Because in that moment, what you have, and I have a friend who at one point could fit all that he had in a little hatchback car, and he's told me he would have fit them in the hatchback car, but he didn't because he didn't actually have a car. That's all his worldly possessions. And at any moment, God could say, go, and he could go. That's incredible. And for some of us in this room, God may have blessed you with children, and that is not an anchor, but a privilege. And yet at the same time, there are couples without children who might enjoy that same freedom. And an incredible time that would have been spent focusing on those being brought up to focus on the Lord. It's interesting, my in-laws live down in Mexico. And there's a lot of people, and it's an incredible thing, because there they can afford to live, and healthcare that they could not afford here, which has been a privilege for them, and the Lord's provision in many ways. And yet, interestingly enough, the retirement age has become a time, not for them, they're active, they're moving, but for many, as we go down and visit, who are just enjoying the sun. Turning over and making sure their tan is the same on the front as it is the back. Isn't it interesting that a season of life, if God is so provided in such a way that no longer are you framed by a job, no longer framed with perhaps kids out of the home, there is a freedom of days now, and yet what do we use it for? Oh, I've done my time. Now I'm going to sit. Now I'm going to stay. Now I'm going to relax. It's all about what? Me. Has anyone ever thought that the age of retirement could actually be the greatest age to which God could use you? You actually have been given a brand new freedom, unconfined, that God could use. But how do we live? Unto our desires, unto our thoughts, and we become framed by what we want more than what he wants. This morning I want to read a few things to you. The first is this, Psalm and chapter 37. And listen to what it says. Psalm 37, and he says this in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. You know what? I read those words, and again, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And again, I look at those words, and I'm longing for the desires, and I'm still expecting this, that when he gives me the desires of my heart, it is early retirement. It is freedom from a mortgage, right? When he gives me the desires of my heart, it is fulfillment with ample golf clubs to fit in my golf bag to help me on my way on the course, right? When he gives me the desires of my heart, it's emotional fulfillment, it's relational fulfillment. He is going to do all these things and grant to me what I want. But I'll tell you this morning, the more that I read those verses, the more I have to contend with the fact that I have wrongly translated whose heart and what delight is being fulfilled. Picture it this way. If I were holding a ball and to say, listen, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. When we say that, is it that Now all of a sudden, his ball is going to become my ball. He's going to give me the desire of mine, or mine to his. I'm feeling that when I do what God says, I cultivate faithfulness. I delight myself. I dwell in the land. I do the work. I trust the Lord. That all of a sudden, my desires are going to become the Lord's desires. Like, he's going to take those on. Oh, good. I've always wanted that for you. It's time for a nicer car. It's time for a bigger home. It's time for a better phone or computer, right? I think that that's what that means. Truth be told is this, that when I truly dwell in the land, cultivate faithfulness, trust in the Lord, and delight myself in him, it is not that my desires become his, like I've given him something. The truth of the matter is this, that as I truly delight myself in the Lord, he will begin to give his desires to me. And now, as my desires begin to line up with his, he will give me the desires of my heart, not because his have become mine, but more so because what? Mine have begun to line up with his. And as he begins to fulfill his word and his way within my heart, I am going to be fulfilled. But I keep longing that God will want for my life what I want. The perfect partner. The obedient children who never question me. He still hasn't given me those, but I'm still praying, right? But listen, this morning, as we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give you the desires of his heart. And then he will begin to fulfill and give you the desires of your heart. But that starts when you start delighting in him and not in the grass that is greener on the other side. When you begin to look at what God's given you in your bowl and not looking at what God's put in someone else's bowl. And once again, I've called you all pigs this morning as we're looking at this, right? As you begin to look at what God has wanted in your life and begin being satisfied in that and not in what you hope, what you long for, what you dream for, though those may not be wrong, they may well not be where you will truly find fulfillment, even if you grab it, even if you somehow find a way to hold it. And in fact, if you try to find fulfillment in your marriage, for those who have the blessing of being married, if you try to find fulfillment in your work, for those blessed with an occupation, if you try to find fulfillment in early retirement or easy retirement, you may well be missing the true fulfillment that God has for you. Marriage was about fulfilling a picture. And yes, you can be blessed in it, but it was never to be for your ultimate fulfillment. That was found in one alone, that is when we are the bride of Christ, our true bridegroom. And today, perhaps some of us in this room are trying to find fulfillment in those things when we're looking at the wrong bowl. We will only begin to find satisfaction when we start in the right place. And that's when we begin to delight ourselves in the Lord and begin to look at what his desires are and allow them to override our desires. I'd like to read something for you this morning, and it's something that someone gave me when I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I don't know where it came from, who wrote it, but it was a wonderful help in a time in which I was making a mess of many things, looking for fulfillment. Listen to this. Everyone longs to give themselves completely to someone, to have a deep soul relationship with another, to be loved thoroughly and exclusively. But to a Christian, God says, No, not until you're satisfied, fulfilled, and content with living loved by me alone and giving yourself totally and unreservedly to me. I love you, my child, and until you discover that only in me is your satisfaction to be found, you will not be capable of the perfect human relationship that I have planned for you. Listen to this. You will never be united with another until you are united with me, exclusive of anyone or anything else, exclusive of any other desires or longings. I want you to stop planning, stop wishing, and allow me to give you the most thrilling plan existing. One that you cannot imagine. I want you to have the best. Please allow me to bring it to you. You just keep watching me, expecting the greatest things. Keep learning, listening to the things I tell you. You must wait. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't look around at the things you think you want. Just keep looking off and away up to me, or you'll miss what I have to show you. And then when you're ready, I'll surprise you with a love far more wonderful than any you would ever dream. I am working this minute to have both of you ready at the same time. You see, until you are both ready and satisfied exclusively with me, and the life I've prepared for you, you won't be able to experience the love that exemplified your relationship with me. And this is perfect love. Dear one, I want you to have this most wonderful love. I want you to see in the flesh a picture of your relationship with me and to enjoy materially and concretely the everlasting union of beauty, perfection and love that I offer with you myself. Know that I love you. I am God Almighty. Believe and be satisfied. Isn't that a great reminder this morning? We are often looking, longing, searching, and trying to achieve the things that we feel will satisfy. For some, thinking that out of singleness, marriage will fulfill. And others, in troubled marriages, thinking that singleness will fulfill. And what are we reading this morning? It is God alone who fulfills. It is God alone, when we are obedient, walking in, and in all purpose within our hearts, abiding in, that we will truly begin to see the blessing that He is. I'll tell you this, it feels great as a husband when my wife is crying to have a shoulder to put her head on and say, there, I'm here. Feel manly, feel like you're the comforter. It, probably the greater thing I could do at times is actually get out of the way and let her go to God. You see, as great as it is to be there for her, the better is to point her to the great counselor, the Holy Father, the one who is understanding. She will never find true comfort if she finds it in me. I'll tell you that right now. Because the only true understanding, and marriage has only proved to show just how blockheaded I am, the only true understanding will come through Jesus. If she thinks that in me she will find the perfect love, sacrificial, unselfish, she'll miss it. Because only Jesus can offer that this morning. And it's only Jesus who can both love her and empower her and make her who she needs to be in order to love me, the block-headed one. But likewise, if I think that she somehow is going to fulfill me, I'll miss. Because it is when we are both attached to Christ alone that we will then begin to live a fulfilled marriage. and truly fulfill what it means to walk in Him. You know what I love? And maybe we've covered this before, but back in Genesis, you know what it reminds us in the midst of the curses? That he says to Adam, listen, you're now going to till the weeds, and you're going to work in the dirt, and all these many things, right? By the sweat of your brow, you shall now bring fruit from the ground. To the woman, pain in childbirth. Yet there was an interesting thing. He said to Eve this, listen, and for time's sake, I'll just roughly quote it to you in a Thiessen transliteration. He says, listen, you will long for your husband, but he will reign over you. We don't like those words, do we? But it was part of the curse. And I'll tell you this, that word which he says, you will long for your husband to be over him in the midst of those curses, pain and childbirth. There was going to be this thing, but he was going to be over her. That word that's used is only used one other time in Scripture. Do you know where it is? When God gives a warning to Cain, and he says, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. Next chapter. And I love the picture because he pictures sin like a pouncing lion, which, by the way, our neighbors have a trail cam. Big cougar walked by at 3:50 p.m. 2 days ago. Now we're like tying our kids to our bodies. So, but you get that picture. Pouncing lion, right? Sin is crouching at the door, but you must what? Master it. You know what's amazing? Here's this curse. And in the midst, he says, listen, sin is pouncing, ready to take you, but you need to master it. You need to reign over it. In the midst of those curses, he says, Eve, you're going to have pain in childbirth, but here's something else. Your inward natural desire is going to be to master, reign over your husband. But guess what? Here's part of the curse. Your husband's a loser, and I'm going to put him over you. I say that lightly, but listen, he's going to say this. And what did we look at last week? Your inward natural desire is going to be to master and reign over, but in this beautiful picture of Christ, what am I going to call you to do? Submit as the church loves Christ. I'm actually going to call you to do the actual opposite of your inward nature. And Adam, you're going to love to play video games and work out your thumbs, but guess what? Your inward nature is going to be self-serving. I'm going to call you to what? Sacrificially love your wife as Christ loved the church. Lay down your life. See, even in marriage, you cannot fill your side of it unless what? You surrender to Christ. Because today, it's in Him that you find the ability to submit and surrender that when He calls you to. It's in Him that you will find the ability to stand up and lead as He called you to. And notice again, as we mentioned, it never says, wives, make your husbands lead. Husbands, make your wives submit. No, He talks to each individual. Today, you are to surrender yourself. Today, you are to sacrificially love. You see, fulfillment comes when we are all obedient to Christ. That's when we're fulfilled. It's not the thing, but how we use it. It's not the marriage, but the God in the midst of it. It's not what the other person does, but how you have reflected Christ to them today. Sometimes I feel like I'm always standing back waiting for them to reflect Christ to me first. And when they deserve it, then I'll reflect Christ back. No? Remember the communion? This is my body broken, wasn't it? And it was for you, and for you, and for you, and even who? Judas, who he knew was going to betray him. That takes dependence on a loving Lord to love sometimes even the unlovable. And yet this morning, Paul says, while many of us long for that human relationship, there is an incredible gift to be had in the gift of singleness. There's an incredible gift to be had in the gift of retirement. There's an incredible gift to be found in the midst of your marriage. Quit looking on the other side of the fence. And this morning, as we look at that gift of singleness, note that you have something that others long for. While they're concerned with how they're going to feed their kids and how they're going to please a spouse, he said, today, your focus is on me alone. You know, there's days when I think how amazing it would be to just take a trip somewhere and be able to just focus on the Lord for a few days, alone. Get my grounding back. Never get time to think, to ponder, to take a slow walk in the woods. What a gift. Don't squander the gift you have by longing for another one that you don't. Trusting that if God has that gift, he'll bring it about in the right time and the right place. You don't need to make it happen, but you can enjoy it and embrace it when it does happen. You know, it's often when we're looking and we see things as disabilities. They're not. I have a friend. I wish you all could meet her. Blind from birth, endured a difficult life, one through which I would never envy. Christians coming up to her and telling her, if only you had more faith, you'd see. Tough. But I'll tell you what, one who lived blind, but with relentless faith and joy. We'd often get angry with her. You know why? She would do anything and everything. You'd be in the ski boat at Cape and Ray Harbor. She'd be in the back riding, and she'd scream. And the boat would stop because you're fearful. What's wrong? Oh, I just closed my eyes for a second, she'd say. And we'd be like, oh, you don't do that to us, right? We'd get so mad. And it got to the point where we'd have to take revenge on her and hide her stick once in a while because she gave us such trouble. She would. She'd come up to you with her stick, and when she knew, and I don't know how she knew, but she'd know who it was, where it was, and exactly where to poke you with that stick, she had it honed in like sonar. Wham! Oh! She'd get you every time. Every time. In 2 days, she walked around Cape and Ray Harbor, and those who've been there know the maze of trails. She knew it by heart and needed no stick anymore. She would drive, and my wife, I was telling someone today, terrible driver, I'll admit it, she'll admit it to you, lots of funny stories. She would lead my wife into Montreal, and she'd be sitting in the passenger seat, and though blind, she may have been a better driver than my wife, she'd, listen, this is what she'd do. Your exit is coming up next. Turn here. Next turn. It was incredible. I'll tell you what, she lived a wonderful and lives today an amazing life. Struggles in singleness. I'll tell you why. How do you know how to flirt when you're blind? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how to pick up signals that someone's interested? Tough one. She'd come and talk to us about, hey, there's a guy at youth group, godly man. Really like him. And we're like, is he interested in you? Not a clue. Not a clue. How could she? Would anyone envy her situation? Probably not this morning, would you? But I'll tell you what, incredible testimony. Godly man, found her, married her, 4 or 5 beautiful children that she's homeschooling. And we laugh because you'll be on the phone with her and also she's like, what are you doing? Like, you can just picture what's going on the other 4 little kids. I think one of the kids got to the electrical panel again. Like, something like that. And you're like, oh my goodness, right? No, amazing. An amazing mom. But you know what? Here she is, longing, what we all long for. But what? Incapable and by force, open-handed. And when it came, what did she have to say? Well, thank you, Lord, right? Because God did it. She couldn't. There was nothing she could do to manufacture it. And while we don't envy the situation, do we? What do we envy? The heart of dependence. A depth of relationship with the Lord. That in her disability, and this morning, don't get me wrong, because I'm not calling singleness a disability. We can view it that way, can't we? Like I'm lesser than or don't have what I need. You know what? Incredible ability. Freedom to hear. Freedom to devote. Freedom to listen. And a freedom to wait on the Lord for His perfect fulfillment that we could never ask or imagine could come even better. Because I'll tell you, I tried to manufacture those things, and it always came back to bite me. I tried to make good relationships without the Lord, and it was only then that I came to realize my need for the Lord. But what does God say? It's because you see and say that you can see that you are blind. If only you were blind, then you could see. Today, God is in the midst of your marriage. If only you'd be looking and listening for Him. Today, God's in the midst of your singleness, active, speaking. If only you'd stop looking at the grass on the other side and embracing every moment for what it's worth. Today, God's in the midst of a broken marriage, a broken relationship, broken family. He's in the midst of your retirement. And yes, you can still get a good suntan on both sides. But there may be more than that to it. He may have given you a freedom today that He might desire to use. Just like we've taken marriage, a human relationship, He's designed it from the beginning to be a heavenly one. How are you using your heavenly vessel today? Fixated on God's things or consumed with my appetites, my desires, and my things? We can allow God to be the fulfillment when He becomes our husband for those who are longing for such, when He becomes our relationship. And isn't it amazing how it's a flip of focus? I often desire me to be alone. And yet, put me alone for too long, and what am I? Lonely. Craving people all the time. Wanting. Why is it that when I'm alone, I can't stop thinking about being lonely and remember that I'm alone with Him? Something I wish I could be in the midst of the busyness. What a gift. And I pray you to enjoy that gift and know that Jesus too would take time away to pray and to be with the Father, because that's what charged Him, enabled Him, and kept Him in God's will and God's way. How are you using the place in which He's put you? I hope to the fullest as God blesses you and will bless you as you look to be obedient where He's called you. Not in the other bowl, but in the basket of life that He's presented before you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that this morning we could look at the fact that we've been gifted. And while we may look at other people and think of them as having more, having better, having what we want, then at that point we've already missed it. Fulfillment will never be found in a balance in a bank account, a comfort in retirement, in looks, in clothes, in cars, in what we think might be the perfect spouse. Fulfillment will come when we are fulfilled in You alone. When we can acknowledge that You are the true fulfillment of life, of love, of care, of understanding. I pray that we would learn to be what it means to delight ourselves in You, that You would begin to give us the desires of Your heart, that You might then begin to fulfill those within us as we cultivate faithfulness, as we dwell in the land of truth. I pray that we would not long for what we don't have, but enjoy the fullness of what we do. Thank You for the privilege it is to see You at work in our midst, the gift of living the gift of life, the gift of seasons, seasons of relationship and without. And yet in the midst of it all, you are the constant, the carer, the counselor, the king. And we pray this morning that we would be fixed on you alone and know that we will only truly learn to live, to love, even to be married or be single, when we first know what it means to be yours. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.